Meet Dr. Howard, the formulator of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
We all know that what we eat affects every aspect of our health, including our immune system, our circulatory system. It doesn't matter what. That's why I scientifically formulated Balance of Nature. There's hundreds of thousands of chemicals in every fruit and vegetable that are naturally there. And many of those chemicals attribute to the plant's immune system. And what's awesome about it is we get that chemistry in our own immune system. That nutrition that we need is damaged by heat, air, and light. So our processes are done under vacuum, in dark, and cold. And by doing that, we preserve that fresh, whole fruit and vegetable nutrition when you take Balance of Nature. It's all there, just as Mother Nature intended.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.
The Patriot Act, turning citizens into suspects since 2001. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
You know, we look at the president, we look at what he said, we look at what he might do, we look at his advisors, but quite frankly, there's an outside source which we refer to as a deep state,
right,
or a shadow government. There's a lot of influence by people that are actually more powerful than our government itself, our president, and all that. I mean, you take, for instance, how our government gets involved in elections around the world.
Yep.
Involved, and we've done this for more than 50 years, and so that isn't known to the public. Now, yes, Trump is his own guy more so than most of have ever been in before.
Yeah.
We hope he can maintain an independence and then go in the right direction. But I fear the fact that there's so much that can be done secretly out of control of our apparent government and out of the view of so many citizens.
Where does the real power lie? The power behind the power. Because it's no longer about who lives in the White House. It's about who owns the White House.
This is the presidency. How much higher can a politician go?
The real power isn't here. It's beyond here. It's above it, but still working in conjunction with it.
Ron Paul, and then House of Cards, the show, the now defunct show, talking about the truth about the deep state. And I appreciate those words of wisdom. That was Ron Paul several years back. Had a lot of interviews with Ron Paul, and he's just a stellar guy. I welcome you to today's show for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's a special Friday show. I have Harold Zeiger is back with us from our Wednesday show to kind of go into maybe some more detail and talk a little bit further about the conversation we were having. We didn't have enough time to have on Friday or on Wednesday. And then I also have Uncle Milty in the house. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks.
I have Melissa in the house. Melissa, how are you?
I'm excellent.
Excellent. And then we have Harold Zeiger. Harold, welcome to the program, author of Freedom's Nightmare. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for
excellent.
Having me again.
Excellent. I'm glad you're back because I think your words of wisdom in helping us to figure out how to get beyond this beast that we're going to be, that we're facing even more so now. We've been facing it for decades, but maybe it's on steroids a little bit. We're going to be talking about that. And then in my next hour, I'll be talking with Joel Skousen, who is a recurring guest on InfoWars, but has a lot to say about General Flynn and Steve Pizniak and all the different conversations and rumors that have been flying. We're going to tackle those and nail those down and hopefully give people something to chew on this weekend and think about as we face coming up on this virtual strange inauguration coming up on Wednesday. And so I just want to leave all of you with that next hour we're going to be going through all of that and attacking the rumors and the disinformation and seeing where we land. In this hour, what a great conversation this is going to be. And we're going to have four of us doing this because there's so much to say in this. Harold lived in East Germany and lived during a time when I can't imagine living in that kind of oppression. But he wrote a book called Freedom's Nightmare. And if you would like to help with the next edition of that book, please do so, because this is something he would need financial help to do. It's an amazing book. I'm telling you, I've got it. And it's that good people need to read this book, and you're going to want to after this hour is up too. You're going to want that book in print so you can give it to your kids and families. So make sure to email me, Kate at katedallyradio.com, and I will forward that to Harold. And I appreciate those that have reached out so far, but we need more help on this. And if you'd like to help with the actual printing of that financially, we could really use the help with that so we can get this book out. And I'll talk about it and put it on my website as well. Harold, you know, you talked a lot about on Friday's show or Wednesday's show, and I got a lot of a conversation back from this that people really love to hear you speak on the fact that I asked you this question. I said, look, how did we escape this? How did you guys in East Germany, what finally brought everything to a head? And you had an amazing answer, and I want to go back to that just a little bit. What initially started, was there something that happened that started getting the people to gather in the first place together? Because they started gathering in small groups, and you can talk about that. But was there some big form of oppression or something that catalyst that happened for people to start opening up this conversation where they were willing to risk it to go up against the beast of government that they were under?
Yeah, it was, if any specific event, I think it was the agreement between the Lutheran Church leadership and the communist government.
Mm.
So to the stay out churches. Of much other sphere. In principle, it was a compromise of the church forced to stay inside the church. Don't promote the gospel outside of their church and leave the communists alone. Don't criticize the communist system and leadership. And for that, they would be left alone. The church would not be attacked by the communists. Now, at this time, the church was already infiltrated by the Stasi, and many of the church leaders, especially in the administration, not so much the religious leaders, but also some of them, were actually reporting to their Stasi handlers, to their case officers throughout East Germany.
Hmm.
I have actually a whole book. It's about 4 inches thick, 7 by 11 or something like that, four inches thick. And it lists all of the documents about the infiltration of the church in East Germany by the Staatssicherheit, which was the state security police. So when they made that agreement, that shocked the laymen in the church. That shocked the people who were interested and active in the church as parishioners, you know.
So they felt like the churches, like, did they feel like the churches turned on them? Did they feel like, wait a minute, this is too close to home?
Yeah, it was kind of a betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
You have to go, actually, you have to go much further back to understand why that was so important.
Okay.
The point was when the communists took power.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person who criticized their power craft disappeared.
Disappeared? So every person that criticized,
yeah,
like vocally, like out there, disappeared, completely disappeared.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, but what most people don't know is after 1945, latest in 1946, most of the concentration camps on the territory of East Germany were still operational.
Mm.
And they were controlled and operated by the Russian Red Army, the Soviets. And all of the administration, the civil administration in East Germany was immediately started to be cleaned up from the former administrators under the National Socialist regime.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them had fled anyway because they knew that they have no future in East Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But even though those who were not members of the National Socialist Party or haven't done anything specific, so were just, you know, administrators, even though those who stayed there were sealed out and most of them were arrested and were put in those forced labor camps.
Oh, wow. Uncle Milty has a question for you, Harold.
Hi, Harold. Yes. Hey, Harold, when this was progressing, how many people almost immediately took the side of the Soviets?
Decided? I didn't get that question.
How many people took the side of the Soviets? How many people, you know, were kind of like the loyalists that in our revolution?
I would say at the beginning, you have to try to get into that mindset after a devastating war and an even more devastating and horrific defeat. I mean, most people today have no idea what was going on in East Germany in that Russian occupation zone.
Right.
I mean, when the signatures were dried on that paper of the unconditional surrender of the German army, the Russian army soldiers were let loose. And means let loose, there were 3 days of total lawless actions. No Russian soldier was punished for theft, murder, rape, whatever. They could do whatever they wanted. They had total freedom to do whatever came in their disturbed mind.
Wow. What stopped that? What stopped that? I mean, what made that only 3 days and wasn't allowed to carry on?
That was the order from Stalin. For 3 days, these German whores are yours. Do whatever you want.
Oh, my gosh.
The German belongings are yours. Take whatever you like.
Jeez.
Yes, that was a direct order from Stalin.
Wow.
And then 3 days.
Then you had people disappearing. So you had a lot of people starting to question, were they told stories that seemed plausible? Did people defend and say, oh, no, it couldn't be the worst case scenario?
No, everybody knew what was going on.
Everybody knew.
But everybody was extremely scared to say something or to do anything because they were defeated. They had no weapons.
Right.
All men in fighting age were arrested and were on the march to Russia. Everyone who ever wore a uniform in the Second World War was on the way to Russia for slave camps as a prisoner of war. Only the old people and the too young, the teenagers, stayed back. But not even those all.
I see.
If one of the teenagers was part of the what was called the Volkssturm, the People's Army.
Okay.
They were transferred to Russia too.
Okay, we're gonna stop right here. We're gonna come right back after the break. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
You don't want to miss this. You just do not want to miss this. This is the Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. Like I said, don't go anywhere. You want to hear this? Pull over. Be right back.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there, welcome back. song. Yep. Powerful version of that song. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach to you. But my words like silent raindrops fell. There, that song is a powerful song. If you ever want to look at just the lyrics of that song alone. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I have Uncle Milty, special on a Friday. I've got Uncle Milty. I've got Melissa Smith, usually joins me on Wednesday. She's joining me today. I've got Harold Zeiger. Melissa was sweet enough to get Harold back on the show. He's been on several times, but we've never gone into depth on this question. And the question was, as as this beast is descending upon us of oppression, how do you survive that and get away from that and stop it? How what did they do in East Germany? Well, Harold Zeiger lived in East Germany, and he's talking about how they did this, because I'm going to venture to guess that most history books do not have these kinds of accounts, this kind of a telling of the story, because we all know that the deep state doesn't always win, and they have weaknesses, and they do fall. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the rise and fall of man. You would only have one story being told here, folks. So we know that they have weaknesses. Sovereign nations are one, and volumes of people are the other. And so this is why I invited Harold on. And Melissa's going to start off with a question, and we're going to circle back to also, Harold was just talking about the youth. So go ahead, Melissa. Go ahead.
Harold, you were sharing about... You were sharing about the demoralization of the German people at the end of World War II, especially those that ended up under the control of the Soviets. And here in the United States, we don't have that same history. We don't have that same. I think Americans are much more optimistic. We believe we can beat this thing. We're still waiting for, you know, a knight on a white horse to come in and save us all. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing for us?
Thank you, Melissa.
So I believe it's a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword for two reasons. First of all, you don't have that extremely horrible experience which sticks. And it's not just the people who experienced it and survived it. Their descendants, like we kids, we have that feel all of the time because it is endowed in you from your parents. You will feel that. My mother was 15 years old when the war ended, and she fled and was overruled by the Russian army several times. That refugee track was overruled and then back again and behind the front line and then in front of the front line. And she never really spoke about all the details, but she must have been to hell and back and to hell again as a 15-year-old girl. And on the other side, it is a blessing that you as a people have never experienced something like this. So on one side, it is great that you don't have this horrible memory as a people. On the other side, it leads exactly to that, what you just said, the idea that you can handle that as you have handled everything. Mm-hmm. And in the past, you have situations had here in the United States with the Revolutionary War and then the Civil War and then the Civil Rights Movement and all of that, the riots in California. All of that is a walk in the park compared to what the people experienced in the Russian occupation zone at the end of World War II. Hmm. It's a walk in the park. And with the following up cleansing of the administration and power control system by the communists, which came back from Russia with the Russians and started to clean out everything, because many communist party members and leaders fled after Hitler took power and started to clean out the Communist Party in Germany. They fled to Russia and lived there and got trained to be more efficient and more successful in their work. Hmm. So when they took power under the security of the Russian army, they cleaned out the administration. They cleansed out the schools. They cleansed out. It went into the janitors of a mayor's office in a small city. Even those people were, if they were considered a danger to the new system, they disappeared.
Interesting. Okay.
In addition to that, they understood very well, if you have the youth, then you have control of the future. So the Communist Youth Organization was immediately promoted dramatically with a lot of benefits which the average German did not get. So youth people, everybody between 18 and 25 was immediately employed and got a job, a good paid job. And that was important to them to turn them around and get them off of the street and out of that drawing into organization or potential organization because of hunger and homelessness and all of that.
And they'd be believing in government, right? So they would be championing the government that was giving them all of these benefits.
Right, right. That would be the communist government with Russian support. Wow. They would be in front line of work jobs. You know, don't forget, Germany was destroyed to 70%. The infrastructure was totally demolished, and all of that needed to be rebuilt. But there was not enough workforce beside the women and the children and the very old. Mm. So that what was left from the youth would be put in charge of a specific task force and would give them special benefits.
So this grew, censorship grew. Censorship was their main course of action through this to get people censored into their message, and then also the nanny state, also of people tattletaling on each other. That's how it grew?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure they had control of the mass media. Radio, TV was not well developed. It existed in some, test ranges, but not really as a public TV. But the media, like radio and printed media, was totally under control. The Russian commander decided which newspaper could be printed and which not, mainly because paper was rare, and so they decided what could be printed and what not, and there was no room for any opposition or for any questioning printing at all. It was all communist propaganda.
We will build
the future of Germany. We want to have a democratic Germany. We want to have a united Germany under democratic rule. We want to have a free Germany under democratic rule. And their democratic rule was that they were in power.
Do you you cry when you hear the word unity being used so much by this group? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? It's all about unity. Yeah, it's disgusting.
You know this old saying, divide and conquer, right?
Right.
And that's exactly what they do. If they can split up the people in single person groups, that would be perfect.
So there's two things, right? So we've got the censorship right now, and we've got the bought and sold media, which people are finally starting to figure out, but I don't think they've really gotten that memo. And so they keep us down, and just because we have more technology and more news coming at us from social media and all kinds of different things, it's the same premise. And I know that Melissa had a question for you because of COVID. She wanted to ask this question. Go right ahead, Melissa.
Yeah, Harold. So you're talking about wanted to separate people. And we know that in the past, revolutions have been fomented, you know, popular movements come when people gather together. Is COVID really about just keeping us all separate, putting us all in our homes where we can't gather, we can't spread information, we can't know what's going on?
Yeah, you know, there is actually two extremely powerful tools. They are emotion. That is fear and love, which you cannot overcome if you don't have faith, right?
Right.
You cannot overcome fear if you don't have faith. And you cannot stay in love if you don't have faith. And communists know that. That was the first thing that was hammered in my head when I was at training. You have to use emotion to get people to do what you want them to do. And the most powerful emotion to use to their own destruction is fear.
Huh.
So what do? You put fear, the fear of the hell in the people that they may die tomorrow if they go out of their house and take a fresh breath of air.
And do you?
That's the first thing.
Do you laugh when you hear them say that they're, or when you think that their people are wearing these masks and waiting for the government to tell them they're safe? Because now they've created this almighty government that tells us when we're safe or not, even though they don't have that role.
Yeah, I'm not laughing because it is extremely saddening seeing people driving in their own car by themselves with a mask over their mouth.
Right.
I call it a face diaper. So it's a face diaper. It's nothing
yes.
else.
Yes.
Because it's dirty after 20 minutes.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
The point is with this mask, mandatory mask, is to see, and that was actually a test, in my opinion, to see how easy and quickly can we fear the masses into submission.
Yep.
And that worked wonderfully. Wonderfully. Oh, my. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, and this is right out of the playbook of communist control. So here is, I create a situation which put the people in total fear, and I say, if you do this, your fear is not that great anymore, right? So they take the mask and they say, I'm safe now.
Right.
So then they come and say, hey, that mask will only save you so far, so you have to have an injection, which will finally make it possible that you can get rid of the mask, right?
Right.
And everybody is jumping up and down and bring this injection, bring it, please, I'm waiting for it. And
it's
nothing is further from the truth.
Yep.
It's just another tool to control and to make the people down. And so the next step is we need to control that you have those injections, because we don't know if you don't have it.
Right.
It's not good.
We're going to come right back more with Harold Zeeger when we come back. And also Melissa Smith, Uncle Milty, and I. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show, Disturbed, Sound of Silence, powerful. I just got the chills listening to that, and I welcome you back. Of course, go to Balance of Nature. Make sure that you're getting that supplement. It'll help with your health, and I know that to be true. It's helped with mine, and I would never tell you to go get a product unless I knew this product, believed in this product, and understood what this product can do. Balanceofnature.com. You're going to need your vitamins. I say that within all seriousness. Make sure that you're getting your vitamins. Balance of Nature is the most fantastic way to do that. 31 fruits and vegetables a day, and you can take it every day. It truly is that good. And put my name in, K-A-T-E, as the code to get 35% off and free shipping. I have Harold Zeeger. I have Melissa Smith. Harold Zeeger is the author of Freedom's Nightmare, and his book is amazing. I'm telling you that he needs some help financially to do the next printing of this. This is a book you're going to want to give your family members, because he outlines and talks about what it was like to live in East Germany and how they actually got to the point where they were able to beat the oppressor. We always feel that the oppressor is so big and large that we can't beat it. And I just want people to understand that, yes, they have weaknesses. The volume of people and sovereign nations are where their weaknesses are because they can't control those two things. I also have Uncle Milty with us, too. Okay, so Harold, coming on back, you know, we talked about all the things that strengthened that side, but let's talk about what strengthened the people. The catalyst of the churches kind of bowing to government was one of the catalysts that, that woke people up, would you say, in number?
Yeah. My generation, when we were in an age where, you know, where you build a family and where you marry, you start a family, and you start to think about your future and you see what is going on around you, and there is no future. There is only misery, failure, and just, you can't even, I mean, grayness, right? There's, even when the sun shines, the day is gray. That's what your life looks like. People look like running around like zombies. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone has the same clothes because there's only two or three different types of clothes you buy in a store. Things like that, which makes life miserable. Every single day you have to fight to get food which you like, not that what is available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that standard bread, standard butter,
right.
and that's it, right?
Right?
Every day you have to fight to get what you need. So people started to question the system more and more and more. And the only way to talk about that was when you were sure there is not a person in your group which is reporting to the Stasi,
right.
The Secret Service, State Security,
mm-hmm.
was extremely well organized.
But did you have a way to communicate with each other to find out who was who?
You develop a certain seventh sense for that.
Okay.
You will be able to. I mean, we learn that this is a life training. You learn to read between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to read people on how they express specific things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How they answer specific questions. There were no internet at this time. There was no things like that. The cell phones. I mean, the telephone system in East Germany, just the standard landline telephone system,
mm-hmm.
was on a status of 1935.
Wow.
So
when you gathered people together, 100 people could have easily been arrested and taken somewhere. So how did they do that? How did they get the people together on the same page to quietly, and this is the most important lesson, guns a-blazing does not work. We already fought revolution,
no.
So we don't need to go there again.
We already saw that doesn't work. You can't do that.
No, because it doesn't do anything.
You would have to have,
mm-hmm.
see, Kate, you would have to have 40 million Americans, half of those who voted for President Trump,
right,
completely trained, completely armed,
mm-hmm.
and at the same second, absolutely same second,
right.
take over every single state.
Right.
Right.
And that's
and
not
that will, that will
happen.
Never happen.
Nope.
That will never happen. You can't do that.
So let's talk about the quiet. This was a quiet
right.
revolution. And that's what I want people to take
right.
away from this. This was a quiet revolution in which what happened, because 100 people would have garnered enough attention to annihilate those 100 people easily. So what had to happen and what
right.
did happen?
So you start with small groups. Small groups, and with small groups, I mean maximum 10 people who know each other.
Okay.
Maximum 10 people who know each other. And the first thing you do is you pray and ask and thank God for wisdom and for guidance.
I agree.
And for inspiration. That is what you do. And you can do that 3, 4, 5, 7 weeks, whatever.
Okay.
And then you will have that influx from the Holy Spirit, what to do and how to do it. There will be names coming into your brain you have not thought of for 50 years. or 15 or 20, whatever, you will get guidance. You will have an idea which you never thought of before, whom to contact next.
Okay.
And then these 10 people go out and contact some of those
other
and
groups.
Talk to them privately and ask them if they would be willing to build a prayer group like theirs. So that next connection is only known by one man or woman out of your group. But every single one of your group has one of those connections.
I see.
And then the next group, let's say you are talking to somebody who knows, you know very well, and he is in a different city, or she, and you talk to her, and she says, yeah, I will do that. I can find a number of people, and we will pray, and we will start something like this. And she starts, and she gets 10 people together. And those 10 people get the inspiration from the Holy Spirit, remember people they have not talked to in years, or they are good friends, or from school, or who knows what.
Mm-hmm. Because
they go out and do that. Now you understand the system I call the spider plant system.
Yes, yes. And the spider...
That is how the system started in East Germany.
Okay, so nowadays, if you had to translate that for nowadays... Because of the network of the NSA. Hi, NSA that listens all the time from Baltimore. We really appreciate you. Maybe you'll learn something. So here's the deal, though. This needs to be done without cell phones. You can't just put your cell phone on silent. You can't just turn it off. You actually have to leave it at home. When getting together with other people, you have to be very aware about tracking and these kind of listening devices, because everything is a listening device now. And that's not paranoia. That's the truth. They've already come out and told you that they have built refrigerators, TVs, all these things in that capacity. So this needs to be done well thought out. Yes?
Right. You don't meet in your home when you have a internet connected thermostat, right?
Yeah. And
you
for
don't
the
do that there.
And for the NSA listening, we just want to mention we're only talking about prayer groups. Right, Harold?
I'm talking about prayer.
Right. It's a
That's
prayer group.
All I'm talking
okay.
About.
I just want to make sure. Yeah, NSA, thank you. So anyway, yes. So
that is how you started. And over time they created these kind of groups in every major city in East Germany. Every major city had these groups, and there were multiple groups where the connection between the groups was just one person. When the Stasi was able to cash in one of those groups or one of these guys, they couldn't destroy the whole organization. They could just roll up one group. That was it.
Okay. And then, so what killed the oppression eventually was the groups were so large that finally went more public as they marched around the churches and they said, we the people, right?
So, what happened was, and I'm not 100% sure, I think it started in Leipzig where the largest number of small groups were existent, and they organized on one Monday in September 89, or was it in August 89, they organized a meeting at the St. Thomas Church in Leipzig, which is very central.
Okay.
And all these 500 different groups, people came to that church at that night, Monday night at 8 o'clock. And that was a pretty great big crowd, roughly 5,000 people at the first day.
Nice.
And they went in, they prayed, they lit a candle, and then every single one with a candle in hand, and these 5,000 people marched around the church for over an hour and chanted, we are the people. You serve us.
Wow.
We are the people. You serve us. And they did that for 1.5 hours. And then they dispersed. Nothing happened. And the Communist Party was scared. They were scared spitless. The next Monday, that same thing spread up in 5 different cities.
Wow.
In Dresden, in Leipzig, in Magdeburg, and some other cities. And the crowd grew and grew. With every Monday, the crowds grew. Because now other people saw, wow, there's a big crowd. I'm not in danger when I go there, right?
Mm,
so
courage.
I can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you always have people who are too much fear to participate in something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
But when you have a large crowd, it attracts people who are with the same opinion, mm-hmm. but too fearful to do something.
It gets momentum. And so as that momentum grew, they were afraid of the large crowd. And then what would they have done? They couldn't have arrested or put those people places because there wasn't a room for them. I mean, there's no way to, how do you go after a crowd? And it took the officers, right, saying, we're not going to shoot at the crowd. We're not going to do this. Okay.
That was the last stage. Now, before that, they tried to disperse a group in Dresden.
Mm-hmm.
There was no shooting, but beating up people and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But the next week, they were back. The next week, they were back and marched again.
Wow. So you're not surprised at the demonization. So they realizing this, they're trying to counterplay right now by demonizing us way ahead of time, right? Demonize us, demonize us, demonize us in the press.
Right, right. That's exactly what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to bow down to that. We just have to avoid. You know, if you cannot use your cell phone, take a piece of paper and write a letter. Learn to write
Wait,
a letter
what?
Again. Right?
Right, you're right. Yeah, go
now,
old school.
It will still be tracked, no question. They automatically track from what zip code, a letter goes to which zip code, right?
Right.
But it is much more difficult to control the normal paper trail, then they can go to a database and single people out.
That is so true.
It's much more difficult to do that.
Maybe a good time to secure post office boxes,
too. The next thing is that you have to get organized with people you know. You don't call a demonstration in your capital and say, hey, come over there, everybody, we will demonstrate. And then you have 1,000 people there, and 300 of them
that is so true.
Undercover,
right?
Antifa,
okay,
and steer everything up and get you in danger,
right?
You don't do that.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. We have about 50 seconds left, and what would you want people to know about what you lived through in East Germany?
Be sure that you are able to pray to your Creator. Take out the Declaration of Independence and study it. I was so disturbed that even people in my age here in the United States have never studied the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
That is where your rights are declared, in the Declaration of Independence. And governments are only there to secure those rights. That's all what they are there. And if people are not in agreement with the government has to disappear. That's
right.
what the Declaration of Independence is and what this country is formed on.
Okay.
So get yourself together.
I love it. Harold, Melissa, David, thank you. I'll be right back with Joel Skousen, and I really appreciate Uncle Milty coming in. Thank you. And also, Harold, thank you for your book, Freedom's Nightmare. If you want to help with the next edition of this book, because it's not available right now, we need to make this available. Email me, Kate, at katedalyradio.com, and we can make that happen. He needs financial help with that. That's a great place to put money. Don't give it to the parties. It's ridiculous to give it to the parties. Melissa, thank you. Everybody, thank you. And be right back with Joel Skousen. We'll be talking about the rumors flying. And really appreciate you guys. Be right back.